My name is Dulce Valencia. Welcome back to Telenovelas con Dulce. And I am blank. Let's try that again.
My name is Dulce Valencia, and welcome to Telenovelas con Dulce, the podcast where each week I guide you through the dramatic world of telenovelas, covering everything from the plot, the insults, the secret twins, and the unforgettable love stories in between. This is a podcast made for telenovela lovers just like me.
My name is Dulce Valencia, and welcome back to Telenovelas con Dulce. We're back after taking a slight break. Apologies for that. I had planned already to take a break, but then I got sick when I got back from Mexico, so the break turned a little longer than I originally anticipated, but fear not, I am back. And today on the podcast, I'm going to be talking about a very, very, very fun telenovela. That's right. Today, I'm going to be talking about La Madrastra. So let's just go ahead and get started. La Madrastra was a telenovela produced by Televisa that aired in Mexico. Okay, let me start that again because I say Mexico when I'm speaking English now because one of my friends once was like, why do you say Mexico? And then, because I used to say Mexico and then I started saying Mexico and now I don't know what to say, so my brain is confused. La Madrastra was a telenovela produced by Televisa that aired in Mexico in 2005. It was produced by Salvador Mejia, and this telenovela had a star-studded cast. Like, it was very much an ensemble piece, and it was led, of course, by our titular La Madrastra, which was Victoria Rufo. Victoria Rufo was accompanied by the great Cesar Évora. He's one of my favorite actors. Eduardo Capetillo, Jacqueline Andere, Ana Martín, Cecilia Gabriela, Marta Julia, Guillermo García Cantú, René Casados, Sabine Musier, and more. The plot of La Madrastra is really, really iconic because we kind of have a murder mystery thing going on, which isn't normal for most telenovelas, which I think is what makes this one of, like, the most fun and memorable ones of recent, not recent years, but like of the past few decades. But okay, the plot of La Madrastra centers around the story of Maria, a woman who lost 20 years of her life after falsely being accused of murder and being imprisoned, and who finally returns to Mexico to exact revenge on her husband, her friends who abandoned her, and of course, to see her beloved children once more. And on top of everything, she's trying to solve the murder of one of her besties and figure out who the real killer is. So there's this premise, it's so good, it's so iconic, it's just chef's kiss. And like I said, this a murder, kind of like a murder mystery plot, isn't common at all in telenovelas. And so I did in fact check myself on this, but this was one of the first telenovelas that did something like this where, you know, throughout the whole episode, there's a mystery that you're uncovering, like who of these people is the murderer. So it was really, really, really cool. So some fun facts about this telenovela is that it reunites Victoria Rufo and Cesar Évora. They first star together in Abrázame Muy Fuerte, although in Abrázame Muy Fuerte, Cesar Évora was very much a villain. And in this one, of course, he's like a villain in a way that he was responsible for like putting Maria in prison, but he's not a true villain. Like, he's not the villain of this telenovela. He's, you know, at the end they fall in love because, of course, he's our hero. He's our hero, but he's done bad things. This telenovela was huge. Like, it was, I don't think it was expected for it to be as popular as it ended up being, but it was really successful and it crossed borders in terms of audiences. So there was an American show called The Soup, which was hosted by Joe McHale, I think that's his name, who, if you've watched Community, he's the main character of Community, and he used to be the host of this, and he used to parody the telenovela and be like, all jokes aside, he once said, like, all jokes aside, like, I can think of, like, I'm butchering the quote. Basically, he was talking about how, like, the show was so good and so addicting, even though he understood none of the things that were going on because he doesn't speak Spanish. So, hugely popular. The theme song, something I haven't been doing in the last few episodes is talking about the theme songs, which I think is a mistake because y'all know I love my entradas. And La Madrastra in particular has an incredible entrada, in my opinion. The theme song is called Vive Me, and it's performed by Laura Pausini, a queen of telenovelas. Her songs fit perfectly, I think, with a lot of telenovelas, like, DNA. So she sung the song for this intro, and the intro is just chef's kiss. I love it. Recommend you see it. This, another fun fact, is that this was not an original telenovela. This was an adaptation, but not of another Mexican story. This was an adaptation of a Chilean telenovela, also called La Madrastra, that was created by Arturo Moya Grau. And my last fun fact is that there was an alternate ending for this telenovela. So there's actually more I want to talk to you all about that. So we're going to get to that later. So now let's go ahead and just talk about the plot of this telenovela. So let me set the stage for you. We are 20 years in the past, and we meet a group of friends, very wealthy people, who are all on vacation together in Aruba. And everything seems happy, but of course, underneath, everyone's hiding stuff. And we have Maria, who is with Esteban, her husband, and, you know, they're all vacationing, they're having fun, it's a grand time. But then tragedy strikes. One night, Maria hears a gunshot, and so she makes her way to, like, the sound because, yeah, she makes her way to where she heard the sound, and when she goes there, she finds that her friend, one of her best friends, Patricia, is on the floor, dead. Next to her is a gun. And then Maria does something that when I first watched this, and I watched this when I was like 8, I was like, she is so dumb. Like, I judged her to this day. I judged her. And what she does is she picks up the gun. She picks up the gun next to the dead body. And she doesn't, like, you know, she doesn't grab, like, a little thing. You know, one, she's, like, tampering with a crime scene. And two, she's grabbing the gun. She's, like, she's grabbing the murder weapon. So she grabs it. And then that's when everyone else on vacation rushes in. And they find her red-handed with the gun, dead body. They're, like, 2 + 2 = 4. Maria, you killed her. And Maria's like, no, like, it wasn't me. Like, you must believe me, Esteban. But of course, no one believes her. They're like, we caught you red-handed. The gun has only your fingerprints, so you're going to jail. So, of course, she insists that she was not the killer, but no one believes her, not even her husband, which is one of the first of many, many, many questionable and horrible things Esteban will go on to do. And so he doesn't believe her, so Maria is sent to prison for life. And when they return back to Mexico, the group of friends, Esteban buys their silence, and he's like, you cannot tell anyone about what happened. That secret stays with us. And they're all like, okay, Slay, like, yes, give us the money. And it doesn't stop there, though. No. Esteban has a flair for doing just, like, the most extra things in the world. So not only does he buy his friend's silence, but then he goes, because, oh, yeah, Maria's a mother to two young children. And so Esteban goes to them and is like, your mom, she died. And, of course, you know, your mom died, but he doesn't stop there. No. So what Esteban does next is he puts a painting in the living room, this grand portrait of some random woman, and he tells his kids that that is their mother. So he completely erases the memory of Maria. And so the kids grow up to believe that that painting is who their mother is. And then we flash forward to the present day, where Maria is in prison. She has a prison bestie. And she's also, you know, like I mentioned in the beginning, she was actually, like, imprisoned for life. But of course, she's innocent, but also she has good behavior. So because of that, she is getting released early. And throughout these 20 years, Maria has been, like, you know, spinning in her head, like, who is the murderer? But most importantly, she's been worried about her kids. And, you know, she wants to get them back. She wants to, like, reinsert herself back into their lives. She's their mother. So she gets released from prison with her friend, who, like, comes along with her because she has, like, no ties to anything else. And she returns home with two goals. One, find out who Patricia's true killer was. And two, get back to her children. So what she does to do this is really iconic. So she just doesn't go and is like, oh, hey, kids of mine, I know that your father made you believe that this portrait is your mother, but that's not true. I am your mother. Surprise, I'm alive. This is what happened. No, she doesn't do that. Instead, actually, now that I think about it, her and Esteban, like, really are soulmates because she is also very extra. Instead, what she does is she has Esteban remarry her and is like, you're going to remarry me. That's the only way I'm going to get close to my kids once again. But in the process of marrying her, she, of course, becomes la madrastra. And her kids at first despise her because they love their mother and are like, you're just trying to take her place, but you're never going to succeed. And so they push her away. But of course, throughout the course of the telenovela, she's gonna win them back. And, you know, she's her true mother. So, like, it's gonna work out. But, of course, the road to get there is very, very dramatic and very complicated. But, okay, so now that we've set up, like, that's like, the plot. But, of course, behind this is the central murder mystery of who is Patricia's true murderer. So we have a list of suspects, of course. We know that her killer is one of the friends that was on that trip. So who were they? Let's go through the list. Of course, at the top, we have Esteban, because yes, even though he is Maria's husband, he never believed her innocence. Or so he says, right? He's a suspect. He's, you know, he covered up Maria's imprisonment, so it could be him. It could also be Servando, who is one of Esteban's business associates at Empresa San Roman, which is his big company. It could also be Demetrio, Esteban's corporate lawyer. It could be Daniela, Demetrio's wife. Or it could be Bruno, another one of Esteban's business associates. It could be Fabiola, Bruno's wife, who is also in love with Esteban. There's a lot of people in love with Esteban in this telenovela because, I mean, it's Cesar Evora, so of course. But okay, and then finally, our rounding up our list of suspects is Alba and Carmela, who are Esteban's aunts. And it's revealed that one of them harbors incestuous feelings. I actually don't think I can say that on YouTube because, okay. One of her aunts cares a lot about Esteban, like a lot, you know what I'm saying? So those are our suspects. And Maria, over the course of her investigation, finds that Patricia was not like the nice, you know, señora de sociedad that she pretended to be. Like, she had her own secrets. A lot of secrets. She kept a diary and everything that Maria eventually gets, and she's able to read through it. And basically what she finds is that almost everyone had a reason to want her gone. And so this makes things very difficult for this. So of course, over the course of her investigation, she has to deal her way back into the lives of this like very tight-knit circle of high-class friends. Maria was also always considered an outsider, not just because, you know, I'm forgetting if I'm remembering this wrong, but like basically she doesn't come from the same high status that all of these friends do, but also because, again, a lot of these people are in love with Esteban, a lot of the women are in love with him. So yeah, there's a lot of intrigas, is that the right word? There's a lot going on, basically. But in the process, she also starts falling in love back with Esteban. Like, they start falling back in love with each other. So it's their love story. And so now we're going to go ahead and talk about the ending. As always, there's so much about this telenovela. But so we get to the ending and, you know, the big mystery is who killed Patricia. And this is where it gets interesting, and this is where I'm going to also talk about the alternate ending. So I'm going to tell you, should I tell you who the killer is? Of course I should, because most of you probably listening probably already know this. Okay, so in the original ending, Demetrio is revealed to be the killer. So it turns out that it's described as being a cross-dresser. It's uncertain if they mean trans or if, you know, it's very much not well treated, like the way they set this up. It's very much like transphobic, But it turns out that he dresses as a woman. He's a cross-dresser. And that night he was... Whoops, that is very loud. That was a loud notification. So that night he dressed up like in his wife's clothing, which is why like there were some eyewitnesses and some remembered seeing like a woman going in. And that's why for a while there was like that was a big misdirect as to who the killer was. But it turns out that it was Demetrio, and he wore his wife's clothes that night. And he's the one that killed Patricia. And however, because again, this telenovela was so popular, like audiences were glued to their screens trying to figure out who Patricia's murderer was, Salvador Mejia did an iconic thing. He gathered he gathered the cast and he had them reshoot some scenes, shoot new scenes, because telenovelas often re-air, and he wanted when the telenovela re-aired for audiences to still be at the edge of their seats trying to anticipate who the murderer would be. So he did this, and in this alternate ending, another person is revealed to be Patricia's killer. And this one, I will not tell you who it is in case you're not familiar with that ending and in case you want to check it out and see what ending you get. So yeah, that's a really, really fun thing he did, and I really love that he took that extra step and also that the cast was just down to go along with it. So that's the ending of La Madrastra. There was a special that aired, which was called Más Allá de las... No, La Madrastra Años Después. I was thinking of La Usurpadora. There was a special called La Madrastra Años Después that takes place 10 years later. And, you know, we just... There's another, like, little mystery. Not mystery, but there's another complications that arise, but... Again, sometimes when telenovelas back in the day were really, really popular, they would do like these little specials to continue the story a little bit more. And that was Más Allá de La Madrastra Años Después. And yeah, that's the end. That's La Madrastra for you all. So thank you all for watching this video, listening to this episode. I'm a little rusty. I said that when I first came back to the podcast, but I was a little rusty today. Also, I have so much background noise. I can tell my neighbors coming in and out. So apologies for the background noise. But, you know, I wanted to make sure I got this episode out this week. And this is the only day I could record. So thank you all so much for watching. Appreciate you all. Also, thank you for people who have been leaving comments or like reaching out. Appreciate it. I saw a comment. And I'm going to respond. I didn't respond. But it was like, are you going to talk about a Telemundo telenovela? And the answer is yes, I am. And actually, I think I'll do that next week. Next week, I'm going to be talking about a Telemundo telenovela. I won't say which, but you probably can guess what because, you know, I've given you the list of telenovelas that I'm covering. So come back next week. We're going to be talking about a Telemundo telenovela. And it's one of my favorites. And it's a newer telenovela. So... that's all I'll say. Thank you all so much for watching this video. Sorry, it's a little rambly and it's a little like, but appreciate you all. And yeah, I'll see you all next time. Bye, everyone.